left off last week, we began to introduce the concept of Kavana as it plays out in terms of mitzvahs, trying to give a whole series of shiurim about the topic of Kavana in the realm of Isurim and mitzvahs and other areas of halacha. So in the realm of mitzvahs, we saw that there's a machlokes that permeates really all of mitzvahs, whether mitzvahs trichas Kavana, mitzvahs ain't trichas Kavana, and for the most part we pass in that mitzvahs, in fact, do require Kavana. Nevertheless, there are some mitzvahs that are perhaps not even subject to this machlokes. There are some mitzvahs that for sure require kavana. There's an added dimension of kavana that everybody agrees to. So we gave an example last week of Kriya Shema, at least according to the view of the Rashba. Kriya Shema for sure requires kavana. The fact that you require kavana, let's say, siyadei any particular mitzvah, that's subject to machlokes. But Kriya Shema, in addition to the kavana, let's say, so you require kavanas perisha inyan, kavanas kabbalas amachu shemayim, and that's according to all opinions. In a similar notion, we find in the realm of Hilchos Tefillah, the Gemara speaks about a tefillah without kavana. And here too, Reb Chaim writes in his comments on the realm of Hilchos Tefillah that the kavana that's necessary for the Hilchos Tefillah is above and beyond the regular rules of mitzvah sirus kavana. So Reb Chaim defines kavana with tefillah in a different context entirely. When it comes to other mitzvahs, so kavana is in a certain sense tangential to the mitzvah. It means I'm eating the matzah, and in addition to doing the ma'is achila, I'm having kavana. So if you hold mitzvah shichas kavana, the kavana is ma'akev. If you hold it's not, that's not ma'akev. Or shaking a lulav. So the ma'is mitzvah is the netilas lulav, and the kavana is once again tangential. Perhaps it's something that's tangential, that's ma'akev. Perhaps it's not ma'akev. That's the subject of the machlokes. It's a shichas kavana now. But there are other mitzvahs, says Reb Chaim, when kavana defines the very essence of the mitzvah itself. So Reb Chaim says that's the mitzvah of tefillah. The tefillah without kavana is not a ma'aseh tefillah. It's not whatever you want to call it, chalois, pula, chefza, whatever word you want to put to it. It's not called a tefillah b'chlal. It's not a ma'aseh tefillah. The person who davens and doesn't know what he's talking about, is not paying attention to what he's saying, so that's command alone is paladami, that al-pidin, it doesn't have the status of a tefillah altogether. And therefore, Reb Chaim says that even if you hold a mitzvah, ain't you this kavana? A tefillah without kavana wouldn't be, I'd say. What exactly does that mean, kavana of Hilchos Tefillah? What is the definition of kavana in terms of Hilchos Tefillah? So Reb Chaim explains that it's not the kavana, let's say, siddur mitzvah. That's not the kavana that we're talking about. It's the kavana of being cognizant that you're in the process of tefillah. That's what Reb Chaim, based on Lashon Rambam, explains. It's the knowledge that you're omen lifnei hamelech. The fact that you're standing in front of a Kodesh Baruch and you realize that you're speaking to a king, that's the bare bone minimum kavana of Hilchos Tefillah. Without that, it's not considered to be a tefillah altogether. How do you know that that's the case? How do you know that tefillah, that the kavanah of tefillah is an integral part of the very definition of tefillah, which has nothing to do with the question at hand, nothing to do with the kavanah, let's say, they have mitzvah? So the chayr, the marker for this, is also similar to the idea that we spoke about last week. When we spoke about Kriya Shema, so we said that, according to the Rashba, that Kriya Shema requires kavanah samachu shemayim, kavanah sa'inyon, which is again distinct from our sugya. So we said you have to have a mokah for that, you have to have a posuk for that. So we're searching last week for a posuk, al levavecha, the word shema itself, whatever the mokah is. So here the chayra, the mokah, nuchas tefillah, for the fact that kavana is an integral part of the mitzvah, is the very mokah for tefillah itself. It's the gemara in Tainus and of Beis, ul'avdu b'chal levavchan, eizu avayda shibalev, v'yom ezo tefillah. The mokah for tefillah is learned out from avayda shibalev. So that seems to be that the real mitzvah of tefillah is a mitzvah shibalev. The din is, you have to also say the words. You have to take the thoughts in your heart and express it verbally. But in terms of the definition of tefillah is fundamentally a mitzvah shebelev. So that Reb Chaim makes a lot of sense. If tefillah is fundamentally a mitzvah shebelev, so then how could you conceive of a tefillah without kavana? And what does kavana mean? So kavana by tefillah doesn't mean, let's say, it's a damn mitzvah. That's like all other mitzvahs also require kavana, let's say. But it's a different kind of kavana. It's the kavana of the cognizance that you're standing in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, similar to the kavana that the Rashi was talking about last week in terms of Hilchos Kriya Shema. So we find that there are certain mitzvahs where the sugya of mitzvah sichas kavana is not as relevant. Most mitzvahs, lulav and shofar, and other regular mitzvahs, so then you can pilpul tshuvas kavana and tshuvas kavana, but other mitzvahs, kavana is clearly an integral part of the mitzvah, l'chol adeis, either Kriya Shema of last week in the Rashba, or according to Reb Chaim's view with the Rambam in terms of Hilchos Tefillah. Then there is a third category of mitzvahs, where according to some posts can be found that there's an added dimension of kavana. It's not the kavana, let's say, siddur mitzvah. that we were talking about last week. And it's not the kavana of cognizance, of being aware of what you're saying, that we're talking about now, but it's another type of kavana. It's a third din of kavana. It's a kavana of understanding why you're doing a particular mitzvah. Kavana's tam ha-mitzvah. So where does that come from, kavana's tam ha-mitzvah? As we spoke about this in the Yom Tov many times, the famous comment of the Bach. The Bach, in three places in Archaim, points out that there are three mitzvahs where the Torah gets into a digression. The Torah is fundamentally a sefer halacha. And every once in a while, the Torah gives you a little divrei musar, a little divrei chizuk. Which three mitzvahs does the Torah give you a whole drasha to? To the mitzvah of tzitzis, the mitzvah of tefillin, and the mitzvah of sukkah. So why does the Torah tell you in the beginning of a tzitzis, why you're wearing tzitzis? And why does it tell you at the beginning of tefillin, why you're wearing tefillin? At the beginning of sukkah, why you're sitting in the sukkah? So the Bach says, because if you look at the Chumash, these are the three lama'an mitzvahs. These are the three mitzvahs where the Torah itself spells out that it's not enough to do the ma'aseh mitzvah, but you have to do the ma'aseh mitzvah so that you remember, so that you accomplish something. So, l'man tizkeru, l'man tiyatar shem aficha, l'man yedidar aseichem. The Torah itself is screaming to us and saying, don't just sit in the sukkah. Sit in the sukkah, l'man yedidar aseichem. Sit in, put on tefillin, l'man tiyatar shem aficha. Put on tzitzis, l'man tizkeru. So, the Torah itself is highlighting, drawing our attention that we're supposed to do the mitzvah for the following reason, so then that kavana becomes also important, even on love of deraisa. So there's a key of deraisa, there's a din of deraisa, that when you put on tzitzis, you have to have in mind for a moment. It doesn't mean the whole day you have to sit and think about it, but when you put on tzitzis, you should have in mind, l'man tiz guru basis become tzitzis. You put on tefillin, you should have in mind l'man tiyah. You sit in the sukkah, you should have in mind l'man yedid erasecha. So the most echrenim right, that din of kavana is not ma'akir. That requirement of having kavana for by these three special mitzvahs is not going to be ma'akir to mitzvah. These three mitzvahs are fundamentally the same as other mitzvahs. It's not like Kriya Shema and Tefillah, where kavana is an integral part of the mitzvah, and that added dimension of kavana is going to disqualify the mitzvah. So it's a separate kiyum. It's an additional kiyum that pashtus dvarim is not going to be ma'akir. So again, so you have a lot of different types of kavana that are being thrown around here. You have the basic kavana, let's say, siddur mitzvah. So that's true by all mitzvahs, the Luy Paskin mitzvah, Sichus Kavana. Then you have the Kriya Shema and Tefillah kinds of mitzvahs, which have an additional part of kavana, but that kavana is an integral part of the mitzvah, and the lack, the roof, can disqualify the entire mitzvah, middle level of the right. So then you have other kinds of mitzvahs, tzitzis, tefillin, and sukkah mitzvahs, where kavana is necessary in terms of the bare bone kavana of latzeis, and then there's an added kiyum of kavana of tam adavar. The pashta dvarim is that added kavana is not an integral part of the mitzvah, and it wouldn't disqualify the mitzvah if it was lacking.
So that's
where Reb Chaim explains that din of having kavana for the first paragraph, that's a different part. That's a din that you have to just understand the words that you're saying, so that b'dieved is good enough once you have it in the first paragraph. But the kavana that Reb Chaim is talking about is kavanas, the cognizance of Amad the Fenei Melech, that's true throughout the entire Shmoneh Esrei. It's a din from Lashon Rabbah like that. So even though we started off the sugya last week by saying there's a question that's permeating Kol Torah Kula, all the 248 mitzvahs essay, do you need kavana, do you not need kavana? We're already seeing that's not true, that there are some mitzvahs that have special unique dinim of kavana. On the other hand, if you give equal time to the other mitzvahs, there are certain mitzvahs that maybe don't require kavana. There are certain mitzvahs that may be the exceptions to the rule and maybe don't require kavana altogether. So much of this discussion revolves around a comment of the Rambam. In the sugya of mitzvah sichus kavana, so most of the Rishonim at least are consistent in the psach. Either they pass in mitzvahs yes sichus kavana, mitzvahs ain't sichus kavana, but most of them don't distinguish within mitzvahs per se. Comes the Rambam and says that sometimes we pass in mitzvahs sichus kavana, and sometimes we pass in mitzvahs ain't sichus kavana. The two mitzvahs that the Rambam uses to highlight this distinction, one is the mitzvah of shofar, and one is the mitzvah of matzah. When it comes to matzah, the Rambam says you can eat matzah without kavana and you still yotzei. When it comes to shofar, the Rambam says, if you blow it out without kavana, you're not yotzei. So the question that the Rishonim debate is, what's the rule, what's the exception to the rule? The Rambam is obviously drawing some kind of a rule up, and giving you some kind of exception. It's not clear which direction to go in. So the Ran, in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, suggests that maybe the rule is shofar. Shofar is indicative of all mitzvahs. So most of the mitzvahs essay, in fact, do require kavana. And matzah is the yotzei klal. Why is matzah? Manish, no pun intended, but manishtana, I didn't mean that. Manishtana that matzah is different from all the other mitzvahs. So the Ran explains that matzah is a type of mitzvah that a person is deriving hanoah from. I'm enjoying the matzah. I'm eating the matzah. Now I'm filled up with the matzah. So the Ran quotes from a different context, from a Gemara Maseches Krisos, in a totally different context, where the the Ran claims that anytime you have a mitzvah that you're actually benefiting physically from, how can you say that you need kavana? I got the matzah. What do you mean I didn't eat the matzah? I ate the matzah, alright. I got the calories, I got the weight to show the matzah. When it comes to shofar is nothing, it's not anything tangible. So shofar, the only way I can declare that it's my ma'isa, that I was yetzer mitzvah, is if I have kavana. If I blow shofar without kavana, that's a misasik biyama. That's like the shofar is just blowing by itself, and there's no shaykhus to me. But matzah, how can you say I didn't eat the matzah? Of course I ate the matzah. My stomach was full, I ate the matzah. So anytime you have a mitzvah that has a hanoshebo, so that automatically supersedes the requirements of a kavan. So this wouldn't only be true by matzah, this would be true by other mitzvahs of achila as well. So this is another possibility, that maybe there are certain mitzvahs that l'chola days wouldn't require a kavan. There is another possible mitzvah that maybe doesn't require kavan l'chola days, and that's the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Maybe Talmud Torah, if a person sits and learns, he's not having learned to be yetzer mitzvah. He never had kavana, nothing. He's like intellectual or stimulating, whatever it is. So a samach read him right. That's also considered to be a ma'isa mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Mayai, manishtana Talmud Torah from other mitzvahs. So there was a machlokes between the Dvar Avram and Rabbi Chonam Wasserman about the nature of Talmud Torah and the nature of Birchas HaTorah, the following shana. Rabbi Chonam is a chiddush. Rabbi Chonam writes, what would the din be? Let's say a person wants to sit and learn, but not for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. He's not having in mind the Shem mitzvah of Talmud Torah. He has it in mind, Shalom Latzei Sidei Talmud Torah. So Rabbi Chonam thinks that, the guy's a little strange, but Rabbi Chonam thinks that he doesn't have to recite a Birchas HaTorah. Birchas HaTorah is only on the Maisa mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So if a person is doing Talmud Torah, Shalom Latzei, so we assume in Shulchan Aruch that even if you're on mitzvahs, Ein Tzuchas Kavana, that's if you do a mitzvah Stam. But if you do a mitzvah with Kavana Shalom Latzei, then according to everybody, you're not going to be Yetzei. So Rabbi Chonam suggests that if a person opens up his Gemara, he's sitting in Shteig and learning Daf Yomi, Hinni Muchim Zuman, Shalom Lot says he has a mind not to be Yaitzir Mitzvah. So Rabbi Chonam says he wouldn't be required to recite a Birchas HaTorah. So the Dvar Avram disagrees with Rabbi Chonam on both points. The Dvar Avram says that he thinks that Birchas HaTorah has to be recited even if you're not being Yaitzir the bits of Talmud Torah. The fact that you're involved in an act of Talmud Torah, it's called Talmud Torah. It's not a Birchas HaMitzvah like other mitzvahs. If I shake a lulav without kavan, I don't have to make a bracha. If I put on tzitzis without kavan, I don't have to make a bracha. But if I learn Torah without kavan, the nature of the bracha is a different kind of a bracha. Like Reb Chaim says, it's a bracha, it's Birchas HaShevach on the very act of Talmud Torah. It's not on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, it's on the involvement in the chefts of Talmud Torah. So Rabbi Chonam thought, the Avram thought, you have to recite a bracha no matter what. And then V'ayidi Shlomo, the Avram says, he thinks that you would still be Yotzi Talmud Torah, even if you have Kavan Shalom Lotzis. Why is that? So the Avram says, he thinks that the B'med of Amamurim, that there's a klal called Mitzvah Sichas Kavana. So if you look around the mitzvahs that the Gemara speaks about, by Mitzvah Sichas Kavana, those are mitzvahs that don't apply all the time. Let's say the mitzvah of Kriyishma. So sometimes there's a Zman Kriyishma, sometimes there's no Zman Kriyishma. Sometimes there's a time to eat matzah, there's a time not to eat matzah. There's a time to blow shofar, time not to blow shofar. So those kinds of mitzvahs are not objectively a ma'aseh mitzvah. A person is eating a piece of matzah, so eating matzah is not per se labeled as a ma'aseh mitzvah. If I eat matzah in the middle of Chodesh Shvat, that's not a ma'aseh mitzvah. I eat matzah to say that that's called a ma'aseh mitzvah. I say Kriyishma, so sometimes saying Kriyishma is a mitzvah, sometimes it's not a mitzvah, depending on the context. And then there are other mitzvahs that by objective standards are always a ma'aseh mitzvah. Talmud Torah is 24/7. There's no moment in the time, there's no moment in a person's lifetime where Talmud Torah doesn't constitute a ma'aseh mitzvah. So the Dvar Avram is a chiddush. He says that the mitzvah of Amurim that you require kavana, that's when the ma'aseh is not speaking for itself. When the ma'aseh is not objectively a mitzvah, then how do you know there's a mitzvah? What declares this to be a mitzvah of Kriyishma? What makes this a mitzvah of ma'aseh? What makes it a mitzvah of shofar? When your kavana declares it to be a mitzvah. It's something which is me'atzmo a mitzvah. Talmud Torah, you no matter what you stand on your head, it's still called a mitzvah. You're still doing an act of Talmud Torah. So therefore, Talmud Torah maybe is mufka from the entire parish of Mitzvah's Kavana. So Rabbi Chonan and the Avram argue on both of those points. Rabbi Chonan thought Talmud Torah is like a regular mitzvah. And in theory, if a guy's Meshuggah, he learns without Kavana, so he's talking at Yotze. And then Rabbi Chonan said, the corollary of that would be, you don't have to recite a Birchas HaTorah. And the Avram says, Bafi time. He says, the whole thing is not true. That you would be Yotze Talmud Torah anyway. And even in Tzimtzum Lomo, you wouldn't be Yotze Talmud Torah. You would still have to be a Birchas HaTorah, because Birchas HaTorah is not a Birchas HaMitzvah.
That you're not allowed to take any benefit out of this world without making a bracha. So yeah. You're getting enjoyment from the Torah.
Yeah, so that's Yom Bechavim to the Rambam. The Rambam has a lashon like that. The Rambam sounds like a little bit that the same way you have to make a bracha on food, you have to make a bracha on mitzvahs. It's almost like a matir. It's like permits you to do a mitzvah. The Rav had a deal like that. The Pashup Shad is that it's not true. The Pashup Shad is that Brichas HaMitzvah is a different form. Brichas HaMitzvah is Shabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu for doing the mitzvah. It's not a hanoah in that sense of the word. The fact that you can't be nana, that means a physical hanoah of eating food. Your other kinds of hanoahs I'm permitted to do. You're allowed to do other things in this world that are enjoyable. I'm allowed to listen to a nice song without making a bracha. I enjoy the song. So it's not that every type of hanoah requires a bracha. So a couple of just to recap, we have the Shas Sugya in terms of Kavana as it relates to mitzvahs. The general question of mitzvahs, Tzuchus Kavana, Ein Tzuchus Kavana, somewhat unclear how we paskin finally, but we generally anoint that at mitzvahs, Tzuchus Kavana. Then you have a handful of mitzvahs that may be the exceptions in one direction. You have other mitzvahs that may be the exception in the other direction. So I wanted to continue now with the theme of Kavana, out of the realm of mitzvahs, Tzuchus Kavana proper, but also within the realm of mitzvahs, and relating to the following question. Sometimes the halacha requires the creation of a cheftza shal mitzvah. So the moshul, you have to have a sukkah, you have to have a matzah, you have to have a tzitzis, you have to have tefillin. But the halacha requires the creation of a certain cheftza. And whenever we speak about the creation of a cheftza, we also find the sugya related to kavana. There we don't quite use the term kavana, we use the term lishma. We'll see as we go on whether those two terms are actually synonymous. So what are the din? What are the parameters of this halacha when you want to create an object that you're going to use for a ma'aseh mitzvah? It's not the mitzvah itself right now. It's the preparation. It's the prerequisite of creating the cheftza. Must that cheftza be created lishma with kavana for the purpose of doing it for the mitzvah? Or do you say no? If it's a sukkah, it's matzah, it's a shofar, it's a lulav, whatever it is, I don't have to actually create it lishma. So here we find distinctions within the realm of mitzvahs. And the first breakdown that we find are within those mitzvahs, within those cheftza shal mitzvah, which happen to be cheftza shal kedusha. Within cheftza of mitzvahs, so the Gemara Maseches Megillah explains to us that there's a basic breakdown between different types of items that are used to perform mitzvahs with. Some are called dvarim shal kedusha, and some are called dvarim shal mitzvah. The Gemara Maseches Megillah highlights this distinction vis-a-vis how one discards these cheftzas after their use. The famous Gemara says, Tashmish mitzvah anignazin, Tashmish kedusha anignazin, Tashmish mitzvah anizrakin. If you have something which has kedusha to it, like a sefer Torah, like tefillin, like mezuzah, usually dvarim shal kedusha means things that involve Shem Hashem. So anything which is Tashmish kedusha, so the only way you have to discard it, you have to put it to shame, you have to put it to geniz, you can't just throw it into the garbage. Whereas Tashmish mitzvah, you have a lula, a sukkah, tzitzis, etc., which don't have any kedusha per se, even though they were used for a ma'aseh mitzvah. So when you're done with them, when you finish it, it's their old, the lulav's old, it's over, you want to get rid of it, so nizrach, just throw it out into the garbage. The Rishonim write that we have a practice that we don't throw it into the garbage together with everything else, together with the filthy diapers, so we wrap it up, there's a little bit of cover, a little bit of something, and then the mice, we wrap it in a bag, then we throw it into the garbage. But in terms of the Iker, din of Geniza, the din of Geniza, the din of Shemus is only for Dvarim Shel Kedusha. So just as we find concerning the discarding of these different types of items, there are differences. So too, in terms of the very creation, how do you make a davar shel kedusha or davar shel mitzvah? We find distinctions as well. When it comes to davarim shel kedusha, so the general rule is that they do require lishma. When I prepare a pair of tefillin, so I make a pair of tefillin, it has to be done lishma. It means the parshas have to be written lishma, the shem kedusha, and the batim have to be made lishma, and the ritzuah, and everything. Basically, that goes into the making of the tefillin has to be done lishem kedusha. And these are all dinim in HaTorah. If not, then the entire tefillin are going to be possible in HaTorah. The same is true for sefer Torah, bezuzah, etc. Whenever it's a davar shel kedusha, so pretty much the halacha requires that a type of lishma is necessary. However, when it comes to Dvarim Shal Mitzvah, so then the halacha starts to draw distinctions. That some Dvarim Shal Mitzvah yeah, and other Dvarim Shal Mitzvah no. How do you know which are which? So the answer is you don't know unless you read the Psukim. They're all Gzeres HaKosavs. Some of them are Dinim D'Oraisa that do have to be made Lishma. Other of them are Dinim D'Oraisa that they don't have to be made Lishma. And some of them are Takam HaChlexim. Some of them fall between the cracks. We're not sure what the Din is. So some of them that we assume have to be made Lishma, so for example, Tzitzis. So we pass in that Tzitzis have to be made Lishma. How do you know that? Because it says in the Chumash, Gedilim Tasa Lecha. So Lecha is L'Shem Chayvcha, L'Shem Mitzvoscha. So Gedilim, the Tzitzis have to be made Lishma. Then you have nuances in the Gemaras, in the Rishonim. What stage of the making of the tzitzis has to be the shema? Is it the spinning of the wool? Is it putting the strings into the garments? Again, you have machleksim, shayinim, and gemaras, whole stories about just how much of the tzitzis have to be made the shema. But the ikaron, we pass in the tzitzis do have to be made the shema.
And on the other hand, you find other chetzes shemitzvah, so to speak, that don't require to be made lishma. Let's say lamashal sukkah. So, although there was one Tana Bishama, his opinion was you have to build the sukkah lishma. If you build the sukkah stam for the purpose of a house, not a house, but just for a shed, just for, you know, for a shade or something, so you wouldn't be, I'd say, the mitzvah. So Bishama darshan from a pasuk chagasukas tasa l'cho, and Beisil says no, that teaches us something different. L'cho is a different drasha, and therefore we pask in halacha like Beisil that there's no need that the sukkah has to be made lishma. Therefore, as long as a person at some point took some walls, threw some bamboo on top, and he sits in his as a hut in the middle of the summertime, and now he wants to use it for sukkahs, so technically that would be okay. The Yerushalmi says that even though min haTorah, that's okay. L'chadchila, you're supposed to do it lishma, and therefore, if by for some reason you built the sukkah shalom lishma, so the Yerushalmi says you should at least take down some of the schach and put it back up lishma. You don't have to build the whole schach lishma, because we pass it like Beisil that min haTorah it's good. It's only a chumra l'chadchila midrabbanan. So if to fulfill that chumra l'chadchila, it's enough to be what's called mechadish badov. You have to take a little bit of the schach and take it off and throw it back on again. Because sukkah fundamentally doesn't require lishma. So tzitzis does require lishma, sukkah doesn't require lishma, matzah is a question whether it requires lishma. So certain mitzvahs, yes, certain mitzvahs, though, shofar doesn't require lishma. When I take the shofar off the animal and I form a shofar out of it, I clean it up, make it into a shofar, I don't have to make lishma. When I cut the lulav off the tree, I don't have to cut it off lishma. So again, certain things are for sure. Yes, lishma, certain things are for sure not lishma, and other things are right smack in the middle. When we speak about the lishma, the creation of a lishma, when it comes to a mitzvah, so it has certain similarities to the idea of kavana, of doing the ma'aseh mitzvah. So there's certain similarities, yeah, and certain very real differences. When we speak about kavana of doing the ma'aseh mitzvah that we spoke about in the past half of the sugya, and we're speaking about the kavana or the lishma of the creation of the chetzes mitzvah, what exactly do we mean by lishma? What exactly do we mean by lishem kavana? Do we mean that this is something that a person thinks in his mind, or is this something that a person verbalizes? So when it comes to the performance of mitzvahs per se, so there we assume it's a dafa pashut that a person does not have to say lishma. There's no say lishem kavana. There's no need before a person shakes a lulav to say hinni mucharim zuman. There is no need api alocha before a person puts on a tefillah to say hinni mucharim zuman. There are some api kabbalah say it as a practice with the ari and other kubalim who have the idea of saying lishem yichud, hinni mechuvin, hinni mechaven, lishem yichud, all those kinds of things. Okay, so those who have that practice should continue that practice. But to say that that's required, mikra din, that's clearly not the case. That's what the Nedi Yehuda writes in the Tshuva. The Nedi Yehuda was very opposed to these Lashem Yichud. He thought it was an innovation in halacha. He didn't think it was necessary. He thought it detracts from performing the mitzvah. Again, not everyone follows the Nedi Yehuda, but the Nedi Yehuda brings a raya from the Gemara. The Gemara says, even when you bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara says that stam kachim l'shma medes. The Gemara says that when you shech the korban in the Beis HaMikdash, so you don't have to say l'shem mitzvah. As long as you didn't say shalol l'shem, if you did it shalol l'shma, that may be a problem. But the Gemara says the famous, and tzvachim tabbeis, that there's no need for you to say it. Stam korban l'shma I made. So the Navira says, if matach in the Beis HaMikdash, where the standards are much higher, stam korban l'shma I made. So you're going to tell me that stam luluf is not l'shma I made. He's like, yeah, he's about to shake the lulav, it's sukkahs. First day of sukkahs, he's standing in shul, everyone's shaking the lulav. No, if I don't say l'shem yichud, I'm not yotzei. So he says, it's absurd. How can you say that? So those who say it for Kabbalah reasons, not for pure halacha reasons. So when it comes to the doing of the mitzvah, so then there is no need to actually verbalize the kavana. The thinking of kavana is good enough. Remember, two weeks ago, we said that the Mishnah Berurah calls from the Chayodam that you don't even need a formal kavana for mitzvahs. Okay, a guy walks into shul, and he takes out his tefillin, he puts it on. What else is he doing? Of course he's putting on the Shei Mitzvah. The only time the Gemara says that Mitzvah Shuvas Kavana is for the person who's blowing the shofar because he likes the sound, and the person who's eating the matzah likes the taste. He's saying Kriyash because he's doing Mavis Sedra when he's doing something else. But when a person is clearly doing it in the context of the Mitzvah, not only do you not need Dibur, you don't even need a formal Machshava. That's also, that would be acceptable. However, when it comes to the creation of a Cheftza Shel Mitzvah, a Cheftza Shel Kedusha, so then the Halacha may be different. Then perhaps the halacha requires that it's not enough for a person just to think a lishma, think l'shem, that he's creating the tefillah, the tzitzis, the matzah, whatever it is. Maybe it's required that he actually says it, he has to actually verbalize it. So this was a suffix in the Rishayim. So the Rosh, at the beginning of Maseches, the beginning of Hilchos Sefer Torah, Maseches Menachos, the third and the fourth bracha of Menachos deal with primarily with tefillin, tzitzis, sefer, etc. So the Rush in the back of Maseches Menachos, most of Menachos the Rush didn't write on, because the Rush only wrote on Halach Lamaisa, and there's nothing that's Lamaisa for most of Menachos. But those third and fourth prakim, which deal with in Yanni, sefer, tefillin, mezuzah, and tzitzis, so the Rush wrote his Halachas Ketana. So in the beginning of Halachas Ketana, so the Rush quotes a Rabbeinu Baruch, one of the Baalei Taisa, the Sefer Truma, the following Shaila. Before a person writes a Sefer Torah, before a person makes tzitzis, before a person bakes the matzahs according to them, whatever, whoever it is, any item that requires a lishma that has to be done, the l'shem mitzvah, so not the kavanah, let's say, sudeh mitzvah, but the creation of the chetzesh mitzvah, when we say it has to be done lishma, does that mean it has to be thought lishma, or does that require that it has to be verbalized lishma? What's the din? What's the halacha? So Ben Abach is not sure, so he starts doing rayas back and forth and back and forth, and at the end he leaves it tzachir. What are the rayas? What's the issue? So Rabbeinu Baruch brings rayas from Kachim that there is a din that if a person does one of the avodas HaKorban, either he shechs the korban, or he receives the blood of the korban, or he walks the blood to the mizbeach, or he sprinkles the blood, and he has an incorrect machshava. So then there are details. What's called an incorrect machshava? Either he had shelo lishmo, he thought it was a different korban, or he was doing it with what's called kavanas pigol, that he shechs the korban al manas, that he's going to eat the meat after the right time. Or he shechts it al manas, that he's going to eat the meat outside of the Beis HaMikdash. That's not pigul, that's a different problem. So those are the first 50 blad of Masechet Zevachim, all about the different possible kavanas that a person can have that could or could not disqualify the korban. So throughout that whole, for 50 blad of Zevachim, the Gemara never raises the most basic fundamental question. What do the words kavanah they mean? What does machshava mean? The Gemara speaks about machashim b'kotchim, machashim b'kotchim, every machamishna, machashim b'kotchim. And it never says, what does machashim b'kotchim mean? So there's a machlekes every shen, what the words mean. So Taitz, the Maseches Pesachim, writes that machashim b'kotchim doesn't mean to think. It means to say. If a guy shechts a korban and he had in mind the wrong thing, that's meaningless. But if he says the wrong thing, he says, l'shem tomorrow, l'shem, it's an olah, he shechts it l'shem shlomim, it's a chatas, he shechts it l'shem korban pes, whatever it is, he does the wrong kavanah. So all the details, again, very, very complicated sugyas, all based on psukim in Tosha, halacha l'mashim, sinai, Tosha, the whole sugyas in the beginning of Zvachim, all of those complications that emanate from having the wrong kavanah, so Taizim Psach, when the fifth parak says, kavanah there always means dibur. If it's not dibur, then it's mamish dvar. No pun at dvar b'teil. It's nothing. It doesn't mean anything. And the Rambam doesn't seem to say that. Every time the Rambam speaks about machshava, 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 so the Mishnah Melech points out that the simple reading of the Rambam is that machshava means machshava. It means just thinking. It doesn't mean that you actually verbalize it. So Rabbeinu Baruch brings rise back and forth about what's the din. So Rabbeinu Baruch says, whatever the din is by kachim, that's the din by writing a Sefer Torah also. Just as concerning, how do you go about to ruin a Chavtza Shal Mitzvah? How do you ruin a Davar Kodesh? How do you ruin a Korban? Either through Dibur or through Machshava, no matter what you hold in that sugya, Taiz the Ram, etc. So whatever you hold in that sugya, you plug it into how do you create a Davar Kosher as well. It's the same standards. Whatever is necessary to ruin a Korban are the same standards necessary to create a Kosher Peret Tefillah. So according to those who Shonu will say, you need Dibur. Those who say Machshava is good enough, so Machshava would be good enough as well. How are we knowing? How do we pass in the halacha? So we pass in that it's a sveikah d'dina. So therefore, we will make sure when we write our tefillin, when we block it at tefillin, it always says in the tefillin markers, say l'shem kedushas tefillin. Shaila. Otherwise, if you mamish block in tefillin, 99% of the time we back black in tefillin, they're probably kosher anyway the way they are. But whenever if a person would mamish black in his tefillin, not doing it l'shem kedusha without actually saying it would be a serious shaila in the kashas and the rituals. So whenever we do anything, we make tzitzis, whenever we write again, any time we do anything that requires a lishma, we make matzahs, so we scream out, l'shaya mitzvah, l'shem kedusha, whatever it is, we want to make sure that we verbalize it, because Rabbeinu Baruch wasn't sure, maybe verbalizing a lishma would be necessary. So if one looks at the Torah, in Hilchos Sefer Torah, when the Torah speaks about this din of writing a Sefer Torah lishma, so the Torah writes, like Rabbeinu Baruch, l'chumra, that you're supposed to verbalize. You're supposed to, when you write the Sefer Torah, you should make sure to say, l'shem kedusha, you have to say it, you might see b'fiv, etc. However, there's another half of Hilchos Sefer Torah that the Torah seems to distinguish, which may open up our eyes in terms of a fundamental difference within the different levels and different gradations of lishma and kavanah. There is a sugya that appears in Maseches Gittin, where the Gemara says that if a person writes a Sefer Torah, a beautiful, beautiful Sefer Torah, he wrote the Sefer Torah, the Shem Kiddush Sefer Torah from beginning to end, but when he wrote the Shem Hashem, so he didn't stop to write the Shem Hashem, he wasn't Mekadosh as Hashem. Before you write the Shem Hashem, you have to have in mind a special kavana that you're writing it B'Torah's Kiddush as Hashem. There's a famous sugya in Maseches Gittin, that a guy's a real goof, he made two mistakes. He was supposed to write the Shem Hashem, he was up to Vaydaber Shem Moshe Leimah, he wasn't paying attention to the tikkun, and he thought that it's time to write the word Yehuda. So he's getting ready to write the word Yehuda, and then he made a mistake in the word Yehuda. He left out the dalet. So he basically he has a Shem Hashem there. So he's got a Shem Hashem, which is in the right place at the right time. But when he wrote it, he had in mind thinking that it was Yehuda. So now what's the din? So he wasn't Mekadosh HaSashay. So the Gemara says it's possible. So the Sefer Torah is possible. You can't use that Sefer Torah. The whole machlokes at the Noam is, can you rewrite it? Can you go ahead, Ksav HaGab Ksav, just last week in Dafyam, right? So can you go ahead and take another Kulmus and go ahead and take another 10 and rewrite over it? Is that considered to be a new Kiddush HaShem or not? But the way it is, it's no good. The Gemara tells a story in Maseches Gittin, in the fifth practice, there was a Sefer who wrote a whole Sefer Torah, a beautiful Sefer Torah, and then he comes and he tells the fellow, the manager at the Achlas Sefer Torah, he comes and says, by the way, Askar Shabem Lo Chasafti Lishma. I didn't write the Askar Hashem Hashem Lishma. So basically, that's tantamount to say that the whole Sefer Torah is possible. So the Gemara's whole discussion is he believed or not. So it depends. Is he still holding on to the Sefer Torah? Is it the other, not the other? A lot of the sugyas about Nemanah, so derived from that sugya. So at one point, the Gemara says that he already gave the Sefer Torah over to the person, so he's not Neman anymore. So now, if I walk into someone's shul, I walk into a shul and I say, oh, by the way, the Sefer Torah in the Yom Kodesh is possible. Oh, where are you? I'm a shugana. What do you mean? You're going to say it's possible? So Kozman did the Sefer Torah stachas yado. He's a bailim. Then he has a certain degree of nemanus. Once he's already given it over, then he's may not be neman anymore. So the Gemara says that iata neman lifts also Sefer Torah, but neman to lahavset scharcha. Now when the balabas who commissioned the Sefer Torah comes and says, wait a second, according to what you just said, the Sefer Torah is possible. So the guy hands a bill for $50,000. So he says, but you just gave me a hodas baldin that you wrote me a puzzle Sefer Torah. I'm not going to pay you a penny. So the Gemara says, that's the din. That if the guy comes and screams the Sefer Torah, it's possible, the Hachlas Sefer Torah goes on as planned, so you can lay Pasha Zocha from the Sefer Torah. The guy has absolutely no nemonis vis-a-vis Hilchas Kashas of the Sefer Torah, but vis-a-vis Dinim Omenis, he just gave Aldoz Baldin that he's not entitled to a salary, so he taka loses the money. So that's a way to tell the guy to keep his mouth quiet. So anyway, the bottom line is, you see from all these Gemaras that if you don't write the Askaras, the Shema, so the Sefer Torah is possible. There are two Dinim of Lishma. There's a Din of the whole Sefer, from Bracious to Leinik Kaisrael has to be Lishem Kedusha Sefer Torah, and there's an additional halacha that the Askaras have to be Lishma as well. So when the Tour formulates both of these halachas, he distinguishes between the two. Vis-a-vis writing the Sefer Torah itself, so the Tour writes that you have to write the entire Sefer Torah of the Shem Kedusha, and you have to verbalize that before you start. So the very first thing, before he puts that ink into it, makes that base, the Sefer has to say, Tamale L'Shem Kedusha Sefer Torah. If you know, if you've been in Achtan Sefer Torah, when they give people the Mechavad of Oseas, so they always, it's usually a big card, they have a Sefer Torah. Tzarech lehotzi b'fiv, l'shem kiddush Sefer Torah. You have to say the words, l'shem kiddush Sefer Torah. Even though, b'nein of the Oseas HaKosha before, there's no soap is going to actually let you really make the Oseas. The Oseas HaKosha beforehand, the outline is there, so Mikra didn't let us kosher with the outline, they'll let you play a game and fill in a little bit. But otherwise, who knows, maybe you're possible to be a Sefer if you... Maybe the person's not Jewish, maybe he's not precursed, maybe who knows what he is. So therefore, they don't want to take any risks on a $50,000 Sefer Torah, so the Sefer Torah is kosher the way it is. Some stuff from a very, very machped, and who they let fill in. Remember, they wouldn't let me write, when we had the Achlas Sefer Torah a couple of years ago, in my own house, the Sefer wouldn't let me fill in the letter, because he asked me one question. He said, did you go to the mikveh this morning? And I said, no. So he said, okay, so then you can't write, you can't fill in the letter. I said, okay. I said, that's not a din. That's already a different afikabalos. I'm a machbid to go to the mikvah before. Apparently, I wasn't machbid, but he was machbid. It was my shul, but he was the cipher. So, what am I going to do? So, that was it. Okay. Anyway. But getting back to the story, so when the Torah quotes the dinim of writing the Sefer Torah, he writes that you have to verbalize L'Shem Kedusha. When it comes to the writing of the Askaras, so the Torah doesn't say that, and he says, Yachsha Beliba, you have to make sure, you have Kavana, you have Machshava, that's the Shem Hashem, you're not writing it as something else. So what's the difference? If you're going to tell me that Kavana, L'Shma, all these dinim require Dibor, it should require Dibor by both Halachas, they're both Min HaTorah. If you're going to tell me that Kavana doesn't need Dibor, just that Kavana with Machshava, like some Rishonim say, like the Rambam, others Rishonim say, that way. So then why should you need to be motzi mipiv before the Sefer Torah? What's the difference? What's the conceptual difference between the kavana of writing the Sefer Torah of the Shem Kedusha from A to Z in contrast to the kavana of the Kiddush Hashem? So the Brisker Rav in his comments on the Rambam developed the following yesod, a fundamental yesod in terms of kavana. And the Brisker Rav says there are really two very, very different halachas going on here. The din that you have to write as if a Torah l'shem kedusha, so that means that the Torah is superimposing, that it's not enough just to write the Sefer Torah, you have to write the Sefer Torah l'shem kedusha. Similar to when you write a get. It's not enough just to write the words of a get, v'chasav la l'shma. If a get is written shalom l'shma, it's possible in a Torah. When you make tzitzis, so the Torah is superimposing. Not only is it, you have to, you know, spin the wool, you got to make the threads, you got to connect the threads, but it has to be done l'shma. So there's a l'shma, l'shem kavan, l'shem mitzvah, whatever you want to call it. So there's a second aloha that the Torah is insisting on here, and that second aloha has to be fulfilled with proper guidelines. One of the guidelines is, we pass like Rabbeinu Baruch, we pass that it has to be done with Dibur. So if you write the Sefer Torah and you didn't say you were writing it L'Shem Kedusha, so that didn't fulfill that second criteria, and therefore the Sefer Torah is possible. The din of Kavanah B'Shem Hashem is legami a different halacha. The din of Kavanah B'Shem Hashem, if you look at the Gemara, the case the Gemara gives, what's called the Sefer Torah that the Shem wasn't written L'Shma? The guy who thought he was writing Yehuda. It's a different din, says the Brisker Rav. The halacha is that when you write a Shem Hashem, you have to be cognizant of the fact that it's Shem Hashem. If you're not aware of the fact that you're writing a Shem Hashem, it's not Kodesh B'Kedushas Hashem. It's like a regular word. And the din is that the Sefer Torah requires Kedushas Shemos. How do you create Kedushas Shemos? It's not that your Kavanah creates Kedushas Shemos. It's not that there's a secondary superimposed halacha of Kedushas Hashem that you have to be mechavin for. You just have to know that you're writing a Shem Hashem, and memeil the Shem Hashem is Kaddish. So the din of Kavana for Kedushas Hashem is a different halacha. It's not that you are the creator of that Kedusha. Not that there's a second halacha. You have to create a Lishma. You don't have to create anything. You just have to know what you're doing. If you don't think you're writing a Shem Hashem, so it's Oish Shem Hashem. If it's not Shem Hashem, then memeil it doesn't have Kedusha to it. So says the Brisker Rav, that din doesn't require dibur. Dibur is when there's a secondary halacha. There's a superimposed requirement. Not only do you have to do number one a ma'is eksiva, you have to do number two ma'is lishma in effect. So then the parameters of lishma mean ayay de dibur we pass in. Masha'in came by kedushas Hashem is a different form of the gamrei. You just write the Shem Hashem. As long as you know what you're doing, memela the Shem Hashem is going to become kaddish. So that's what the Brisker Rav explains. That's why when we find that when you have a Shem Hashem that's not written B'Torah Shem Hashem, so it's Oy Shem Hashem. It's not that I was lacking Kavan. It's not that I didn't fulfill the second Aloha. Apid Din, it's not called the Shem Hashem. Shem Hashem is not just the four letters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. It's the four letters written by a person who knows what he's doing and is aware of the fact that he's writing a Shem Hashem. So he gives Moshul Matav Daim, the Din is, if you have somebody who doesn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have an atheist who writes the Shem Hashem. So the Rambam writes, pointing for the Gemara Maseches Gittin, that there's no Kedusha to that Shem Hashem. It's nothing. But it says Yud Kei Vav, it's the same letter, same ink, the same parchment. No. Shem Hashem is more than that. Shem Hashem is the knowledge, is the cognizance that the person is writing it, but it's Shem Hashem. Otherwise, it's not Nif, it's not Chal, it's Shem Hashem. That's what we've quoted this before. Moshe quotes this Rambam. The Brisker Rav used this Rambam. The Rambam writes that if someone who doesn't believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu writes a Sefer Torah, so by definition it's Chosr Hashem Mishem Hashem. So Moshe quotes that Rambam in a different context. So Moshe says, what if you have someone who doesn't believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu recites a Bracha? So Moshe says, you don't answer Amen to that Bracha. Why? Because the Gemara says that a bracha has to have Shem Hashem to it. If a person says Baruch Atah Melech HaOlam and didn't say Hashem's name, so that's not called a bracha. Called bracha she'ein v'askaras Hashem ain't a bracha. So Rav Moshe says, what's called askaras Hashem? Askaras Hashem doesn't just mean the uttering of the Shem, the pronunciation of Hashem's name. It means the cognizance of Hashem's name. The person believes in Hashem's name. If a person says Hashem's name and is motzi b'piv, it's like dvar b'teilim chalila. He doesn't even not even aware. Doesn't believe that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. So that's not a Shem Hashem. That's just a Hebrew word that sounds like the Shem Hashem, but it's not the Shem Hashem. So Moshe says, just as we find by Ksiva Shem Hashem, Ksiva Shem Hashem, it's not enough just to put ink on the parchment. It has to be with an understanding that it's Shem Hashem. So that din that the Brisker Rav is telling us is a whole new dimension to Kavanah. This may take us in other areas of Halacha also. And you see that there are two different types of Kavanah. Sometimes Kavanah is the Maisa Gavra. The Gavra has to be the Mechavin. The Gavra is creating a level of Kavanah. The Gavra requires Lishma. Then there is a certain level of what's called a Lishma, what's called Kavanah. And then the Halacha is, according to many Rishonim, it has to be Dafka Yidei Dibur. Then you have other areas of Halacha where I'm not really doing anything. I just have to be aware of what I'm doing. I just have to know that I'm doing the mice X, Y, and Z. And once I do that mice, as long as I know that I'm doing a mice, Ksiv Hashem Hashem, so Mameila Hashem Hashem gets Kedusha to it. Now, of course, the problem is that I don't even know what I'm doing, so that is nothing. So that's what the Torah says. When it comes to the writing of the Etzem Sefer Torah, or the whole Sefer Torah, you have to have Kavan L'Shem Kedusha, and L'Shem Kedusha there means a Dibu L'Shem Kedusha. But if I had Dibu, when I started the Sefer Torah, I had in mind, when I started the first Beis of Bereishis, I said L'Shem Kedusha the entire Sefer Torah. When when I got to the Shem Hashem, as long as I knew what I was doing, as long as I was aware, it wasn't Yehuda, it wasn't something else, I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, and I'm just writing it with Terah Shem Hashem, so the Nehla, that's sufficient as well. So that model of the Brisker Rav is going to become important for us as we explore other areas where Kavanah plays roles also. We have to always ask ourselves, what kind of Kavanah Lishma is it? Is it something that I'm fundamentally doing? I'm the driver's seat, I'm the bile of creating the Lishma? That's going to have certain standards. Or no, I'm not doing anything. I'm just doing the mice. And Mamela, once I do the mice properly, so then the Kavanah and whatever else has to take place is going to happen Mamela. So we'll continue with some of these sugyas next year. Next Sunday, I'm not going to be here next Sunday morning. I have to be out of town that day. So we're going to be here next Sunday, the following Sunday, hopefully we're on for. I think the following is Purim. Right. Okay, so no, next week. Yes, the following week. No, the following week. Okay.